Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, I can hear you now too.
AirPods okay, or should I switch to phone, you think?
I think it's fine.
Okay.
Long time in the making. This I actually was thinking about. Have we ever done a pod? I did your podcast twice. I did the Stripper Whisperer once that I think we never released, maybe.
No, put out. Should have been put out.
I know you got scolded or I got scolded for something about, because what we talked about on that was, I think it was like I told a story about my friend coming in his pants at a strip club.
Because I have a story about that. Was that where we had like tried to talk through whether or not that was okay or not okay?
Yeah,
and then I texted my like go-to stripper lady.
Yeah,
and I go, "Hey, how is this viewed by the sex work world?" And she's like, "You know, not great, but like, you're trying. You weren't trying to like hurt anybody, or I don't know."
Yeah,
let's see.
I remember us, and then I did the homeschool podcast with you and Andrew.
Okay, yeah, that's extinct or whatever. Let me see. Strip Down with Corey and Casey.
Ah, there we go.
But we might have, I think I was like, I'll call it Strip Down, or, and then I called it Strip Down with Andrew Rivers, yeah, and then I did it. Oh, yeah.
Is,
or I thought Champagne Room might be a funny whatever.
Yeah, Champagne Room would be fun.
Know.
Champagne Room would be a good name for like Patreon episodes too.
Patreon or live.
Yeah, true.
Live at the Champagne Room. I had all these ideas, but it's hard to grow a podcast, I've learned.
Yes, yes. And they say like keep doing it, put it out at the same time, all that shit. And I don't know if any of that works more than just being popular
right.
already.
Well, me and Andrew were talking last night, so we're, I don't know, what is your podcast? Maybe this is podcast conversation, I don't know, but,
Well, we're on,
yeah, we were talking,
this is all going to be included in the podcast, so that's fine.
All right, okay. We were talking last night of, like, because we have a new idea, and it's fun, and we recorded two, or two and a half, or three, I don't know how you kind of, at my house, I built the podcast studio, and he's like, I don't know, podcast studio, we kind of didn't go all in on it. And I'm like, I mean, what are we going to, you know, I can't take up my whole home. I'm in a studio apartment, so I'm like, I can't take up the whole space. And you don't have a room at your house, so it looks cool. I'm like, it looks 10 times better than, I won't name a podcast, but other people who've had a podcast for 10 years and have 6,000 Patreon followers and
yeah,
like it looks way better
stories
than all those, and we haven't even done an we haven't even released an episode yet. I think we can, whatever. He's like, yeah, but then we got to write jokes, and I'm like, we got riff. Let's just riff on the. Let's have a little bit of a skeleton and riff. And he's like, well, we haven't even done that yet. And I go, okay, well, that's fine. I'm fine with skeleton, but like, he's all about writing jokes in advance.
Yeah,
write in advance, write in advance, because that's what he does. He doesn't want to riff on stage. He doesn't want to, Like he doesn't, or like talk to the audience. He just wants to do his amazing, perfect jokes. So I'm like, that's great. But like, let's just fucking talk. People like us. We're, that's why they follow us. So they'll, but it was admitted. And then I was like, those first two were bad. And he's like, well, I don't want to be bad at something. I was bad at stand up for 10 years. I don't want to be bad at another thing.
Yeah, it's tough,
like,
because
there's
like a thing where I go like to people, I'm like, what, they're like, what should I, like, what equipment should I buy to podcast? I know, like, I genuinely know a guy who he started posting about a podcast shed that he was building in his backyard in 2015. He still hasn't started a podcast, but if you look on his Twitter, and if you know the right hashtag, you can look at the progression of this thing. It's like he has seen equipment become obsolete that he purchased to buy. You know what I mean?
To college, dude.
Yeah. And so, I kind of am like, if the thing that's stopping you from having a podcast is like perfect equipment, just fucking record it on your phone.
Yeah.
Do whatever. But if it's like, if it's content or time, which are, those are also things. I'm at a point with like this podcast where I'm just like, I'm going to talk about shit I want with people I want to talk to, and that's it. And if people
Yeah.
like that, that's cool. I'll always do it. And then if, you know, I have like other ideas. I did, our mutual friend Todd Royce and I had a kind of loose plan to start a podcast at some point in the pandemic, and I set up upstairs at my house. I have like a three camera studio with professional audio equipment, and
Yeah.
then that asshole moved to Las Vegas. So,
Well, we split the cost on the, at least we split the co- I mean, it was, he's been, yeah, he's very, he, Andrew's very great. He's great. And he's obviously like,
no, I hate him, but
he works hard and he's, what's the fucking word?
rich has rich
Anyway,
parents.
what was it?
He's rich and has rich parents. Is that what the thing is?
That's where I was going. Yeah, this is all leading to that.
He's got a very wealthy
He's
parachute.
ambitious, super ambitious,
Sure.
and so I'm like, yeah, we get this. We have an idea that's fun, and we bought a sign and we built a thing. And he's like, yeah, the first two tries at it kind of were annoying and sucked. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's that. Of course,
Yeah.
we're not going to get our legs for a little while, but I mean, I listen to these murder podcasts, and there's one I listen to where like. She's got thousands and thousands of listens and views on YouTube, and all the comments are like, "I really like this, but what's the deal with the audio? Like, what are you
Yeah.
using? Like, it must be, are you on your phone for this? Like, literally $150, and you're good to go. You'll sound amazing." But anyway.
Yeah, I have like there's podcasts I listen to. There's a dude named Kevin Brennan, who's Neil Brennan's
Sure.
brother, who he does. I pay for his Patreon. I don't even think he puts his podcast out publicly anymore. It's all Patreon. And
Okay.
he does half of the episodes are like him just angrily yelling into his phone in his car. And I'm like, one, take that guy into a studio with a microphone, and I don't think you get like quite the that ex you don't get that version of
Sure.
Kevin Brennan, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he feels like it needs to be a little more formal and prepared instead of just saying the wildest shit that comes to his head about his brother and other comics and fucking people in the
Oh,
world and
interesting.
whatever. It's dude, it is gnarly. He it's yeah, it's no, I'm not even gonna say the reasons that it's gnarly. Because
Sure.
we live in or we operate around Seattle, so I don't want to say it, but there's like a very
Sure.
famous clip of him using the N-word, talking to a black comic, and
Ah.
that comic not being thrilled about
Interesting.
it. So it's like,
Wow.
but also
On
he,
the pod on the podcast.
yeah, and that one might not have even have been his. He had a show on that Kumia network for a while too,
Okay.
but he's like, you know, old school. Like joke first comic and not afraid of like edgy topics he's at all.
Right.
And anyway though, my point is like, would I rather get that or would I rather get like a polished studio version that doesn't have any of the wild shit talking? And yeah, I mean,
Right.
we kind of
Right.
obsess about audio quality stuff. I certainly do. And I feel like I've focused on the wrong part and the wrong the thing I should care about is like getting amazing guests and being funny and maybe even being like prepared and all that. And now I have a three camera studio in my house and nothing to do with it pretty much. So I'm trying to work on that
Well,
one.
and I listen. So there's this great clip that just came out on Legion of Skanks that I don't listen to that or watch that or whatever you call it. I don't know what
Yeah,
people do
sure.
anymore,
Whatever
podcasts.
you have to
But
say to still get booked in Seattle,
I
I get
don't.
it.
I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar with their work. But this clip was insanely good because it was. I can't explain. Like it's just worth watching.
I'm gonna explain it the best
Fox,
I
do you see
can.
this or hear this?
Yes,
No?
I
Is it in
believe
your
if
group?
it's the
Is it in your
one,
group thread?
I would never ever dare listen to this podcast, but
Of course
I
not,
did happen
yes.
to come across. No, it's so basically there's three guys, Jay Oakerson, Luis J.
Yeah.
Gomez, and Dave
Yes.
Smith, and they're Fox
Who I'm
News.
not familiar with at all, but yeah.
Sure. So did you see this thing this morning, by the way?
I did,
I
yes. Yeah.
believe that it
We're in
went
for
from one
all.
group chat because I gave it to the other group chat and I think it made it to you from, is it, do we share, is it, did it come from a mutual friend of
Yeah,
ours?
it came from mutual group chatter, yeah.
Yes. So this, I believe I am the source of you seeing this.
All right, that's fun.
So Dave, Louis J. Gomez, so to Tucker Carlson is doing a documentary about like wokeness and comedy, and they interviewed for this documentary, a
God.
woman interviewed Luis J. Gomez, and then she was like texting with him and sent him a link to Dave Chappelle's monologue, and then goes, "By any chance, do you have Dave's number?" Luis J. Gomez thought he was talking about Dave, thought she was talking about Dave Smith. This lady thinks that she's talking to, like, texting with Dave Chappelle. Dave Smith doesn't realize this until like the morning of the podcast. They start talking about it and they realize this, and then they have Dan Soder call this lady. And I'm not going to give any more of it away. That's given a lot away, but not the parts that had me like shaking, laughing while my daughter is watching cartoons and she doesn't understand why I'm quietly laughing with headphones in.
It was brilliant. And it well, it was brilliant because of Dan, so that's sort of that's what I won't give any more either. But so
Dan
I
Soder called, and I don't know
remember
if I said, Dan Soder is an incredible impressionist, great comedian,
yes.
and called doing a Dave Chappelle impression, and they made it work so it was from Dave Smith's phone number.
And I guess the reason I brought it up, first of all, it's you should go watch it, whoever you are listening. It's pretty great. And I don't know. I don't is I, so I said I didn't listen or watch be, mostly just because I don't.
Sure.
But I is there stuff that I should care about?
I mean,
I don't even know.
it's a
I don't
really
even
funny
know.
podcast, but they call themselves the most offensive podcast on earth. They're the people
Is
who make
Aaron Berg and Luis J. Gomez, are they the two that go do that tour together? That's
they
or is it
do
just
they have
Aaron
a
Berg and
tour
somebody else?
called Offend Everyone, but Aaron Berg isn't like officially or isn't part of the Legion of Skanks.
Associated. Why? Right.
But they're
And then
like
there's
all
Gas Digital
Gas
is a
Digital
thing.
is they that's like the network
That's
Legion
the
of Skanks is on
yes.
it. It's like I think
Got it.
it's probably the biggest podcast on their network.
Yes.
I don't
And
know anything about
then
this. I would
Luis J.
never
Gomez
consume this.
runs Skank Fest.
Yeah, him and some other folks
Right.
run
Got
Skank
it.
Fest.
And other people, yeah, of course. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I don't know much about him, but I know I only know third hand through other podcasts what people say. That's all I know. And then Nate Bargatze jokes. I get I brought it up because I was like, granted it was a live podcast, but I was like thinking about Andrew, like, oh yeah, this is our setup looks better than this. Like, it's just a table
Yeah.
and mics. Like, it's I granted that was a live podcast. Now I don't know how they normally do it, if it's normally live or if it's normally, I don't know. I don't know what they do. But
They have like a studio where there's a bunch of podcasts, and it looks more like it's like those SM7B mics you guys have, and like multicam switchers and shit like that. That it's like they have a professional setup, and that live show is that live show.
Gotcha. So yeah, I mean, we don't have multi, I mean, we could do a multi-camera. Anyway, it's regardless. I think that you just kind of we have a fun idea, and it's stuff that we already like to talk about, which is kind of the it feels like the trick is like just talk about things you already would have been talking about.
Yeah.
Anyhow, and then it's like you trying to connect golf to comedy and your career because like it's like well I want to golf and I like golfing I may as well find a way to do that and comedy as opposed to have it be completely and entirely separate
Yeah, and also it makes it a little easier to write it off of my taxes. That's another nice thing.
That's why I have a stripper podcast. Only reason.
It's all just a big scam.
Well, by so why am I revealing this? Sure, who cares? I have some legal issues right now, and one of the part of the legal issue is to not go to bars, and I'm like, okay,
By the way,
and
I think
then
you gotta be let when you tell people this in a conversation about your stripper podcast, you gotta be less vague about what the legal issues are because it makes it sound like you're like a pending sexual assault charge.
Perfect. Yeah. So they go and they were like, you can be around anybody you want to be around, just no bars. That's the reason you. Well, yeah, maybe I should say so it's a DUI issue that has not come to fruition yet, but I'm court ordered to not go to bars, and that's July that I was court ordered to do that. I assume it's still the order, but the it was pretty funny because the judge was real. It was a real. It felt like a lesson in white privilege of just him being chummy with me and like, oh, comedian, eh? Well, all right, you can obviously go to bars, but only for work. And I was like, okay, yeah, no worries, man, I get it. And he goes, who's that one guy that does the cigar and the whiskey? I don't know if it's a prop or not, but oh, what's that guy's name? And I was like, oh yeah, Ron White. And he goes, yeah, Ron White. Oh, that guy's great. Oh, super funny. Well, if you do anything like that, make sure it's a prop, right? And I go, hey, no problem at all. I already do a similar thing where I do a prop, and yeah, I'm a hack, so whatever. And he goes, all right, okay. And I go, yeah. And I go, oh, and I just lied. I was like, yeah, Ron's great. He's met him once. He's awesome. But I was like, what am I doing?
That's so funny.
Why am I saying this? Because it can't be confirmed or denied. But I met him once. So that's all you need to know. And I was just like, oh, this is really funny. And then I go to my lawyer. I was like, okay. He goes, ah, oh, bummer. You can't go to any strip. And he's just enamored by the idea. He's like, so you have a girlfriend and you can go to strip clubs? And I was like, yeah, she doesn't care. It doesn't matter. And he's like, wow, man, that's wild. And I was like, yeah, just whatever. And he's like, and then you just talk to you just you follow him on Instagram and Twitter and like text with him and it's fine. And I go, yeah, no, it's not a big deal. Fine, yeah. He's like, oh, that's crazy. Oh, man. And I go, well, it's part of the job, right? So I can technically go to a strip club, huh? And he goes, how about that? Yeah, you can. It's
I do like that you're making like a fan out of your lawyer and the judge at the same time. But
my
also, by the way, like
I did try and sell merch to both of them, but
you know what'd be funny is if you'd have told them that Ron White quit drinking, they'd be like, oh, well, then I think we the sentence is
I
different
know.
there, comedian.
I know. And they're like, hey, well, maybe you should learn a lesson from him. And I'm like, okay. Well, I'll get insanely famous, make millions and millions and millions of dollars, and then I'll quit drinking too. How about that?
That's brutal. I by the way, like I was I briefly did a little bit of production work on your Stripper Whisperer podcast, and I felt like that was almost too much for my wife. I can't imagine being like, yeah, I'm gonna make part of my job going to strip clubs
Oh,
on a
interesting.
regular
I never
basis.
even thought about that. Or maybe we did briefly chat about that when you were doing it.
She didn't actually care about
Yeah,
me doing the
sure.
production stuff, but like one of our first when we first started dating, and this we might have gone over some of this on the Stripped Down podcast, which is
Wow,
it's still up,
nobody
right?
listen. Yeah, it's fine. Go back and listen, and we'll re-talk about it here. But yeah.
One of the first things we were ever gonna do, I went to college with my wife. And she was,
Okay.
I was the editor in chief of a newspaper, and I hired her to be the editor. And this is, by the
Ooh,
way,
editor in chief. Wow, that's
dude,
a
hey,
little
listen to
bit
this. I wouldn't flirt with
racist,
her.
but all right. Why does it
Well,
have to be a chief?
you should have seen the articles we published. So this is back. She used to like flirt with me back then, and even back
Okay.
then, a heroic Casey McClain in like 2009 would not flirt back because of the power dynamic. I didn't
Because of
have
the
that
power
phrase.
dynamic.
I called it not shitting where I eat, but still the
Ah. That's a bit. Maybe it is a bit.
I've never done
That's
it, but
really
maybe.
funny. Yeah, I didn't have the right language for it,
But so one of the first things we
fun.
were going to do is as a group, as like the whole editing staff, go to a strip club. And that was where this is where the story came is we went with this guy. It was his 18th birthday, and in Washington State, at least at the time, you could go to the strip club at 18. We go to the strip club. The first, I think, probably the first time he's ever touched a woman, comes in his pants. He's By the way, I hope he's not a listener because he's sworn me to secrecy, and I've told thousands of people in my life. I tell everybody I meet about it. It's never made it back to him. But yeah, he comes in his pants, and she had like bailed on us last. It was her idea. It was my wife's idea to go. She's still to this day never been to a strip club. We got married. I went on my bachelor party. I had just bought an iPhone. By the way, my dog's eating in the background. We have to live with this noise.
Can't hear it. Very good.
I'm the probably the listener might hear it. Anyways, I had just
Okay.
gotten a brand new iPhone, and you know when you're getting married, you're broke as shit because you've devoted all this money to a party for other people. And so I'm like, I lose my iPhone at the bachelor party, and that I lost it literally like the moment we were supposed to go to the strip club is when I lost it. So I'm like, I gotta find this phone. I'm looking for the phone. I'm using, and then finally, I'm like, I guess I'm not finding the phone. Give up, and we go somewhere else. And that, like, at the time, everyone was leaving the strip, so I missed the strip club on my own bachelor party, and so I haven't been to the strip club since then, since the time I went when my wife didn't go, basically.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's wild.
And none of my friends have been cool enough to have strip club bachelor parties since then.
Well, I did. Let's see. What have we? Well, yeah. I don't know that we're. My history is never had gone. Went to Vegas. Went with my wife at the time. That was fun. I think it was one of our like several or maybe a hand. We had a handful of like last ditch, like let's spice things up, kind of things.
Sure.
And that was one of them. Good time. She enjoyed it. She felt like. Yeah, like someone thought she was hot. I was like, "Oh, that's probably what I should convey to you.
I could have been
That's
filling
probably
this hole.
something going on there." There was chat the next day of like, "Should we text that girl from last night from the club of to see if she wants to go to your show tonight?" And it was her; she initiated that. I was like, "This is great." But then, like again, down the road it was like, "Oh yeah, that was just yeah, that wasn't healthy for her." I love the idea of it, but that wasn't a healthy. She didn't really want that. And then fast forward, we did a bachelor party for one of our mutual friends down in Portland, and went to all the quote unquote libraries, but it was just strip clubs. But I don't know if we were hiding. I don't think we were hiding that from anybody. I think everybody was allowed and fine with it. And then we had so much fun. The same group was like, "We should do this again." And they were like, "Well, nobody's getting married." And they're like, "How about a divorce party for you?" And I was like, "That's fine with me. If you guys need an excuse." And they're like, "Yes, we definitely need an excuse. We can't just say we're going down to Portland to strip clubs to our wives." And we were like, or whoever. And I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, sure, whatever." But then the time came around to do it, and I was like, "Oh man, she and I are getting like, we get along just fine. This is a very like." Fuck her divorce party, like I don't need that. So I just said, let's not publicly post that. That's if you're all cool, that's not publicly posting that. That's why we're here, or what we're doing, and we can just talk about it privately and at the club while we're there. Because it worked at the club. I mean, the women were like, "Oh my God, divorce party! Come on over here, boy." That kind of stuff. And it was a great time, but. Yeah, we did a stripper scavenger hunt that time. It was very fun, a lot of different things, and one of them was getting a p article of clothing. And Andrew said to a girl, he's like, "Hey, can I have, because they're off, they're on the floor." He goes, "Can I have your panties?" And she's like, "Sure," or whatever. And he's like, "Cool." And he put them in his pocket,
And then he goes,
and then
"Separately, I'm
she's
doing a
like
scavenger hunt,
chasing
and I'd
us.
like an article
She's
of
like
clothes."
chasing us down, like, "What the fuck? You took our panties, her
Oh, that's
panties."
funny.
And he was like, "Oh, you said yes." And she's like, "I thought we were jo I didn't think you were serious."
That's
And he's like,
funny.
"Well, I don't know. You said yes." I mean, very literal, Andrew, And so he got a lot of points on that one, on the scavenger hunt. And yeah, good time. It was, well, so then now I don't know. I get it. I get it. If you're married, I definitely get it. But my view of them has changed so like almost 180 from when I was, where you are in life. And so like
Well,
I
I
go,
think
oh
it's
yeah, they're just not that big a deal. But just All along, you know, when your husband's on the road, already thousands of miles away or hundreds of miles away, and you're at home with a baby, I can't imagine it's like the super most fun thought to be like,
Sure.
okay, he's having a woman grind on his hard dick right now. That's not, yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. No, and I'm
Yeah.
like, it's funny too, we live in a time where like sex workers went from prostitutes to heroes. Like I've lived my
Right.
like I've been an adult in that whole time. And
Right.
so I don't think that my wife has made the same evolution, so I'm not supporting
Right.
heroes on the road if I do that. But yeah, but I want to before we run out of time, on your end or
Sure, yeah.
my end, I want to talk about golf with you. We did the road together for I think the first time last weekend.
Oh, yeah, I guess so, huh?
Yeah, we've done a bunch of shows together, but that was I think the first time we've slept in each other's bed.
Yes.
But so
On the road.
and I'm gonna we can edit any part of this out. I just want to talk about the trip,
Yeah,
the whole
yeah.
thing. Because
Yeah.
we go to this country club, I guess because of what we're gonna I want to talk about after this. I'm not gonna say the name of the country club.
Sure.
So the show's fine. Like the show is probably the least eventful part. There's like a little bit of heckling, all that, couple dudes in front, drunk.
Yeah.
I called one of the guys 100 years old. You claim they were a couple. They played along with it both, with both
Yep,
those
yep.
things. Very fun. And then one of the guys, as we are talking, like, saying hello and kissing
To
some
be
babies.
fair, not that this really matters, but I think it's better comedy. They claimed they were a couple because they thought that was
Fair.
hilarious. And then I played along.
Got it. Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's a it's a what are you, gay? It was, you know, they thought it was hilarious to say they were, and then I didn't let them out of that lie with what I think was funny things. But yes, that's you're right. It was about as good as one of those a country club private gig can go,
Yeah.
given all these circumstances. But yeah, that's where we so the show ends. There we go.
And we see one of the dudes, dude, just truly incredible head of hair on this 900-year-old guy. We
Yeah.
watch him chugging a bottle of red wine, like a cartoon character, like bottle of wine is fully vertical upside down, and he's opened his jaw. He's considering eating the glass. He's drinking this thing so aggressively. And they're like, come over to the bar and have a drink with us. Not a bar, a country club, gathering area, to the judge out there, any probation officers listening. We go sit down. And by the way, I did appreciate very early on you made the call, like, because I told you I didn't want to have my life spiral the way yours has, and get a DUI. I was like, I'm fine with drinking whatever amount. And we had other potential plans that night, so we had already talked about figuring out an Uber. But
Right.
you
Well, and I
complete
wasn't drinking, but
right.
I cannot, I'm not allowed to drive another person's vehicle, and it was your vehicle there. So,
Right. Of course, Corey was
even
not
though I was
drinking.
not drinking
Corey didn't have a
at
drop of
all.
alcohol, but he can't drive my
Right.
vehicle because it doesn't have the interlock thing in it or whatever.
Correct. Yeah.
For yeah, okay. So,
By law, I cannot do that. Yes.
of course. Anyway, we sit
I
in this
guess that's
bar.
funny. I don't really get it,
So,
but all right.
yeah, no, it's just the stuff I'm thinking about is funny. No, this dude, let's say his name was Dave, for the
Let's
sake
say.
of because his name is Dave. He
Yeah,
he's like a cartoon drunk. He's like very combative.
Yeah, and not even like, but like, not disagreeing, I don't think. I think he was like, I think the things he was saying, generally, I would have been like, yeah, I agree with that. But it was so aggressive and
Yeah.
not what I wanted to talk about
And
that,
it was
yeah.
like he was so drunk, it was like his eyeballs had turned into his skull. Like the eyelids
That's
had
a good
inverted.
description. Yeah.
And he's like, I watched his friend bump his own beer and like spin it a full 360. And that guy was significantly less intoxicated. Then I watched Dave almost hit, like, knock over a beer. And I said at that moment, I go, there's no way both those beers remain unspilled the
Make
rest
it
of the
through the
night.
night.
Yeah. And I watched at one point Dave is talking to us and he's aggressively gesturing with his hands, and like 4 out of 5 gestures, the ring on his finger like loudly hits his
Clink,
glass.
clink, clink, clink.
Yeah. And somehow those beers didn't get spilled.
Lost that. Yeah, you lost that bet.
Yeah.
So drunk, by the way, that the least drunk of the two came in the next day to apologize to the staff. That's the level of, but anyway, okay.
Yeah, and these are like, this is a country club, so that's like the least drunk of the millionaires came in the next day to apologize to the minimum wage workers for how their this guy acted. And he so then Dave gets up, and Dave is so drunk he can't stand in one spot and
No.
falls backwards. And I actually don't think he hit his head, but if he had not caught himself and taken out about 4 chairs with him, I think we might have been
Oh.
taught we might have been at like doing comedy at Dave's funeral this weekend.
Yeah, you don't think of that because it didn't happen. I mean, I didn't think of that because it didn't happen, but now, yeah, now you say it. I mean, if that would have been a head against, he's a tall fella,
Yeah.
and even though he had a big head of hair, but it wasn't going to protect a big fall like that into the wall. That would, yeah, or the corner of that door frame is basically right where he fell. Oof, yeah, that would have been real bad.
Yeah, and so he, by the way, they, I don't know if you caught this. They go, at one point he goes, "What time is last call?" And they're like, "We don't really do last call because you guys are members, so we'll just stay until, you know, all these people are spending so much money at this place that it's pretty justifiable to stay open
Yeah.
until 2 o'clock for one person, basically."
Right.
And so,
And it would be seen as really poor. There would be complaints or poor customer service to be like, you guys gotta go or whatever.
right.
But,
And so then this guy was
huh,
so
yeah.
drunk that he goes, "We don't really do last call." And then like 4 minutes later, the guy goes, "Hey, actually, it's last call right now." And so then Dave ordered
You know
every.
what? Now that I think about it, you're actually right. We should do last call.
So Dave
Oh, man.
orders drinks for everybody besides Corey. I drank Corey's drink.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that, by the way.
I didn't want to make you look weak in front of these people. So
Right.
I snuck
Right.
it. I
Right.
snuck it.
Yeah.
I took down a peach Crown Royal or whatever you would typically drink, so nobody knew, nobody was any the
Right.
wiser.
Yeah.
And then I actually had like a decent. Oh, so then by the way, these people leave. Dave falls over. His wife has to carry him out like he just tore his ACL in a football game. And,
Again. Yeah.
yeah. And these new, like, younger folks talked to us. One lady told us that she loves Eliza Schlesinger. And then I tried to be diplomatic
Ah.
about that, if you recall.
I do, yeah. I mean,
But.
at least she chose a name that wasn't, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Eliza's got like 5 comedy specials on Netflix. I guess she does fit in the category of people who are not. Yeah. I like it when people at least just say a name that is like not incredibly mainstream, but I think Eliza is now.
Yeah, it's
Especially because
interesting
it's a
because
unique name and memorable name. But anyway, yeah.
I have like this relationship. People say Amy Schumer, and I think Amy Schumer is incredible, but there's like
Yeah.
she got the stink on her from something. I think it was maybe being too political or something, but like people are like, "Oh yeah, some
Right.
fucking," or I mean there was like the accusation of the stolen jokes from Patrice and
Yeah,
on stolen jokes
kind of been
of
through all that, and there's not really much merit to it, but yeah, anyway.
Sure. And also those Patrice jokes were just fucking street jokes. Like that's stolen from
Yeah.
the open source of the world. But yeah, the so she whatever, that's like I don't know
Yeah,
why
yeah.
Eliza why for me Eliza's so much different than Amy Schumer, but people have those feelings
Right.
about both of those people, and I feel very differently about Amy Schumer than Eliza Schlesinger. I also think Amy
Yeah.
Schumer is doing like a kind of brilliant character, and Eliza Schlesinger is doing a less brilliant character. I think neither of them are really. Amy Schumer was being like, she was acting like a Republican woman. Was
Yes.
she said that? Like, and
Yeah.
I think Eliza Schlesinger is acting like a party girl, and I think that neither of them are actually those things, based on actually what you said about with the horrible accusations you were hurling at Eliza.
that I hurled at Eliza. Yeah, well, and I mean, I don't even, yeah. So we used to be like Fluffy and the guy with the puppet that were or
Sure.
Kevin Hart. Those were the three. And Kevin Hart's incredibly funny and hardworking and not my cup of tea. I wouldn't pay to see him live probably, but you know, what am I gonna say? The most popular comedian in the world is not funny and
Right.
talented. That ain't where I'm coming from. The other two, I don't, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Fluffy sounds like super hardworking too. And I mean, he's built a career and whatever, but those are three. And it was because of Comedy Central, because
Right.
it was high school kids that were usually like the ones going like that was literally the only three they ever mentioned. But
Yeah.
now it's become so much more mainstream, and especially with YouTube and Netflix, that like people go, yeah, this like Stavros Stavi Stavi something Stavros how
Yeah.
whatever. And I'm like, wow, that's like, you know of him. But then, like you see how many millions and millions of views he has on things, you go, oh, of course you know him. And how popular his podcast and all that shit was. So now people will at least throw out names that are like, okay, you at least know like a comedian who's like a touring headliner at the clubs that I could potentially like do an open mic at. All right. I
Yeah.
like, you know some comedy. That's great. Regardless of whether I think they're amazing or terrible or whatever, I think. And so yeah, I was gonna say that. I guess that's what I was thinking. Like, oh, at least I said it. And then I was like, wait, no, Eliza's above all that. She's like five Netflix specials in, and not really doing clubs anymore, probably unless it's working on her new hour. And yeah, so I don't think we can count her as oh, they actually know a real comic, you know,
Yeah. Also, shout out to
grinding
this.
away like we are, like
Yeah, true,
whatever.
true. There was probably a
Yeah.
time where she could have counted as that. I agree with you.
For sure. Not that long ago. Yeah.
Shout out to the staff at that country club, by the way, because I was worried that they were gonna lump us in with the members because we were spending time with the members, and they treated us, and I mean this in a really nice way, they treated us like staff. Like
Yes.
they didn't charge us. I had one of those guys. I asked the dude. I was like, "Hey man, I noticed you have a bottle of this whiskey back there. I like it. Can you tell me how much a shot is before I buy one?" And then he just
Yeah.
brought it to me. And by the way, he brought me like four shots in a fucking glass.
Yeah.
But also, he was like, "That first off, that guy bought it, and second off, like it's $27, but I'm not gonna charge you for it. You're a fucking like you're one of us, basically," which was nice. I really did
Right.
appreciate that.
Right. And I would have taken one of those shots, but you know, the rules. So.
Yes, of course. You would never break the rules.
Nope. Never.
We
Except
golfed.
for rules of golf. Don't break the rules of golf.
We golfed, and so a thing. You and I went to the driving range, and I think it was either late January or February, and you took video of my first swing of a golf club in 17 years.
Yeah. Do you still have that?
I do. Yeah, I have it somewhere on my phone, or I
I
put it
do
on
too. Yeah.
Instagram.
Okay.
But you saw like, I mean, I literally
It was like
missed
a
the ball.
before and after. It was like a Weight Watchers before and after, you
Except
know,
for I was
is
the
what we're doing
exact same weight or heavier.
here. Well, I wasn't gonna, you know.
Well, it's funny because I
I
feel
thought
like
you'd gained, so I mean, good for you,
I feel like
man.
I've taken like. I had like a good thing going swing wise, and then I think I actually took a couple steps back before you and I have now played together twice. It was like twice within a week.
In a week, yeah.
Yeah, we played Chambers Bay together and then this. But yeah, can you tell me like when you saw first swings, was there any sign that I had swung a golf club in my life?
Oh, for sure, but it was clear it'd been a while. Plus you told me that, so that's kind of
Sure.
hard to like, you know, I knew if I was just seeing you, yeah, you know, because you like a golf swing is like sometimes people who never have swung one before, kids especially, just kind of you hand it to them and they just kind of go, well, you just do this, right? Like, I don't know, your body just like tells you, well, I gotta hit that ball,
Right.
so this is how you do that. And to the point that like, what's a good, I guess, yeah, golf is the best example sort of like, Your brain tells your body what to do. So we were talking about this with putting. Like, you don't step off the amount of feet for a shot at a basketball hoop.
Right.
But almost everybody comes within a foot or two of the rim. That doesn't mean they make it, but nobody like throws it 8 feet too far usually.
Right.
But putting is weird because like you can miss by 8 feet. Like, now there's tools involved, like a putter and the ground and slope and stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe we're doing too much thinking. We for sure doing too much thinking when we swing a golf club. But what I mean, it's hard not to, especially if you hit one really poorly, you want to go, well, okay, why did that happen? I want to fix that.
Yeah. Well, the interesting
But
thing too is
like,
like I played baseball, right? And baseball is like that's a it's not the same swing, but like the there are a lot of overlapping mechanics. But in baseball, you don't care as much if like if the ball slices, that probably makes it a better chance it's gonna become a base hit. It's like not a negative really.
Yeah, in softball, I purposely hit to right. I hit opposite field every single time, and I purposely try and get a little bit of a cut on it, because that bounces really hard on the turf away from the right fielder who usually sucks,
Right.
and then I hit a home run. So yes, there's not as pinpoint accuracy necessary, but like in pool or tennis, maybe tennis is a better example. Still the spin really helps you in tennis, but it's all the same. From knee to nipple, it's the same movements of your body. The baseball swing, the tennis swing, kicking a soccer ball, even, it's all the same. Wind up and get real that build that tension, and then turn and release all of that and hammer the ball. But you go out and you golf with someone who's played baseball, and they go, ah, it's too much of a ba I got too much of a baseball swing. You're like, nah, it's not the issue. But it's better if you're a baseball player and an athlete to come out here. I mean, notoriously, baseball hockey players are notoriously really good at golf after their careers are over in hockey. Like, they
Sure.
win all the pro-ams, or like the sports pro-ams. And baseball players often do really well too, because you're a good athlete and you
Right.
have you know that swing. Sure, there's you're not taking your hand off the bat, you're not whatever, the club, whatever, but it's not significantly different. But yeah, no, there was potential. And then I've been actually not based on that first time seeing you, just based on the short amount of time it's been. When there's so much to be said for dressing the part and getting the right equipment for the part and like studying the game part, like especially in golf, because if you just kind of don't know what you're doing out there on the course, like managing your way around the course, that costs you, does, it can cost an amateur dozen strokes. Just
Sure.
like, I don't know which club to use. I have no idea. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know where to tee up the ball. I don't know where to walk. I don't, they've studied none of that. So I was impressed by all that. Like, okay, you know how to get around a golf course.
Yeah.
And that saves you a lot of strokes, regardless of the swing or whatever. And like, okay, in a situation like this, it's probably best to hit this club or try this version of a shot, as opposed to someone who's just like, how far away am I? Okay. Or maybe not even knowing the yardage, checking yardage, all that stuff is like, okay, you're a student of the game a little bit, which is gonna like, yeah, it's hard to continue if you're not that, because you get out there and you're much more embarrassed.
Yeah, well, and
First of all,
that was my experience like growing up is I didn't have a range finder or I didn't even know that that like white stake means 150 until I started playing. And I like how far do I hit these clubs? I don't fucking know. Like I'm just guessing. Even like a driver, I was like I mean, I sometimes 250 when I was like 18, I would hit a ball 250, but it's like I still have this, which is sometimes it's 250 and sometimes it's 210 because it slices 48 yards. And then sometimes if I really get one right and it's straight, it's 290, which is like a tough, that's a tough yardage gap to plan for, you know?
And you do things like managing the course, things like maybe even a little bit more conservatively than you need to, but most people, who are relatively newish to the game, just tee box is driver, sand is sand wedge,
Right.
green is putter. I mean, that's pretty much always true. I'm chipping, whatever my wedge, chipping wedge is. But you're like, no, I don't want to go in that trouble, so I'm taking iron off the tee. Okay, it's a long sand shot, so I'm going to hit my 50 degree, not my sand wedge. So all that stuff is like saves people so many strokes. But I don't get. I used to, I mean, I coached high school, and I'd tell those kids or try and tell them, but they didn't listen. And
Yeah.
then now, as an adult, I ain't trying to tell anybody anything unless they ask for the most part, because people don't always take it well. And then also, you can give a person advice, and then golf is so crazy because you're like, because then they'll hit a terrible shot or they'll like totally top it. And you go, like, no, you that was still the right thing to do. You just execute it physically. And that's okay. You'll just next time.
Yeah.
But they probably in their mind go, well, fuck that. I didn't work. And you're like, well, it was the right thing to do,
Well,
regardless of whether the result was right.
it's also a game that you get like, I mean, I'm a tinkerer, period. Like that's my personality for everything. So it's I kind of have unlimited tinkering opportunity with golf where it's like my swing will never be perfect. I'll never have a like an untinkerable shot shape. It's even if you get to the point where you're hitting consistently, like I suspect you're like, I mean it The it takes I know I'm not going to be shooting a 59, but if I was shooting a 65, which is also never going to happen, I'm not going to be like, well, it's over. I don't need to get any
You're
better.
done.
Right. It's like it's unlimited. It's got unlimited potential for tinkering, which when I was 18 drove me fucking crazy. Like I was
Yeah,
playing
it's
baseball and
interesting. Yeah.
I was like, my fucking curveball is great. I'm trying to build velocity. I have a changeup that's very good. My fastball's fine. I can locate it well. I would get results that were good without like having to do as much thinking as golf requires. And golf, even then, you're like, and I've kind of, this is like, again, it's just being a older and more mature, but like, I forgive myself for a bad shot a lot easier than I used to.
Well, that'll save you a ton of strokes too. And then the real big trick probably to golf for you maybe right now is that if you can turn the tinkering off while you're actually on the course,
Yes.
because that gets you in a huge amount of trouble. You just can't, as much as it sucks, tinker on the course
Yeah.
on the day of a round. But it's because people go, what's the swing thought you should have here? And most people will go, no swing thought, no swing thought before you've already done all that. I mean, it's kind of like, stand up in that way of like, you've done the hard part, you've prepared, like a comedy competition, I think, would maybe be a good example of a lot of people are like, oh, I'm like, God, what do I do? And isn't it tomorrow night? And you're like, well, tomorrow night's a different audience in a different city with different judges. So I don't really know that you should spend too much time going, like, within the competition trying to figure it out. Like, you've done the hard work, you've written the good jokes, just choose the ones that you think are the best and go for it.
Yeah,
And back, shooting free throws, you shouldn't, like, sure, pre-shot. You should do your routine just like if you did the same routine every single time in golf, you'd save yourself 5 strokes around, like exactly the same every single time, on every single shot. Just like Karl Malone whispered that 13-second thing before he shot every free throw, even though people would count down and try and get him to, like,
yeah.
it was whatever, try and get him penalized for it, but he would do it every single time, and that made him. That was 5% better. He probably shot 80% from the free throw line instead of 75 just because of that. And but fuck, man, how do you turn that off? I don't know, because I still constantly do it.
Yeah, that's an interesting comparison. So I actually think I don't really have a swing thought over the ball. Maybe I need more of a swing thought. I definitely do some tinkering on the course, but the thing about having no swing thought and comparing it to comedy, I agree with, 'cause so like I'm it's interesting because so many people they talk about comedy as though it's some brave act that we're doing. And I think once you've gotten to a point in comedy, nobody really thinks it's like brave to go up and do comedy. In fact, I would say people will ask me like, they're like, "Oh, were you nervous when there were like I did 800 seats? Were you nervous?" And I'm like, "No, that's like I wasn't." I mean, the only thing I get anxiety-wise is I'll be like, "Get that fucking person off the stage. Get that MC off the stage. Like, I want to be up there doing it." I'll be like, it feels like the MC's 10-minute set is 45 minutes, and then my set, which is 30 minutes, or if I'm headlining, if it's 45 or 60 or whatever, it feels like that's 20 minutes. And that's like completely selfish, but it's true. But it's because I'm not like, I've divorced myself from that whole, like, I don't have any nerves when it's a big crowd. Now, if it's like this crowd that we were doing, I'm thinking more on stage because I'm going like I'm like especially in that setting I'm like constantly evaluating, is this too dirty? Do they hate it? Like, is this crowd work gonna go a place that's gonna piss these people who pay $20,000 a year off? And it sure I'm an artist, but is my art worth fucking costing this place 60 grand? Are they gonna ever want comedy again? If I do that, do I ruin it for, you know? And so that's like a little more, but I was like, but again, once the mic's in my hand, I'm not really actually intellectualizing that, right? I'm just like working on instinct and reaction.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that if I do start to get in my head of like, oh, they hated that one, or they hate me, or this sucks, or I'm bombing, or whatever, then I start to sweat, then I start to get anxious, then my lip probably quivers just enough that they subconsciously notice. It's like all that little shit that like, okay, I'm just plow forward, but the level of confidence is a thing of like, it translates to so much of life. Like it used to be that they came out with that dumb book, The Secret or whatever. And I was like, ah, this is kind of hokey. But then there's these individual people in that movie, in that book that like do this for their life's work. And like, I would read and listen to some of what they talked about. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense, right? Like, the idea of our brain doesn't do well with do and don't. So if you constantly just think about the thing you don't want, you're more likely to sort of manifest that. And that's very true with golf, because your brain literally tells your body what to do. So in golf, if you go, don't hit it in the water, don't hit it in the water, don't hit it in the water, your entire focus is water. Your brain isn't doing well with don't. It's doing well with water. And then your brain tells your body what to do, you're just literally more likely to hit it in the water than you were. That doesn't mean you won't hit it in the water if you think, hit it on the fairway, hit it on the fairway, hit it on the fairway. But fucking, why not think, hit it on the fairway? Like, that's crazy to go. And so, like, right before you step up to the ball, like, I mean, people out loud go, oof, I just don't want to hit it left here. And then they step to the ball, and I just go, ah, you fucked yourself. You literally said it, didn't just say it in your mind, you said it out loud. Like, that is really telling your brain to tell your body left. And I don't guarantee you won't if you think right, but it certainly helps. So then that pops up in all these other, don't leave it short, don't leave it short, don't leave it short on a free throw. You're more likely to leave it short, and you can't really make it, or unless you have this weird spin, you're not going to make it if you. And then pitching, if you focus on a specific, like the tiniest little dot, as opposed to, well, the outside corner. Well, pick a fucking little dot on the catcher's mitt, and that's more likely to get closer.
I
And
used
then in life, don't be late, don't be late, don't be late, don't be late. I'm late all the time, but I always think about not being late. Well, fucking, you're constantly focused on late.
my high
Anyway,
school best friend was a he played catcher on our baseball team. And I remember there was a guy that played so there was a guy named Jake Davidson who was actually the drummer for a band called Aiden that toured the country. And he was on our team, and then he quit baseball because they like went on tour. Him and his band went on tour while we were in high school. And so he was like, he would call a game as a catcher where he'd be like, this pitch outside, he'd set up on the corner, I'd just throw to his glove. Like I trusted him. And if I didn't, you know, he would like do all the things. My buddy Matt was like, dude, just throw it wherever you want, I'll catch it. And I'm like, no, that's not how this works, you asshole. Like, it's gonna be worse for everybody. So then I got mad at him and I was like, fuck it. I'm just throwing fastballs down the middle at his glove and struck that batter out. And I was like, you still have to fucking move. I was like, so angry that it actually worked. I was trying to give up a home run.
How
And,
funny.
but I
He was too
did,
good.
I was just too good, Corey. I wanted to
But
tell
people who
you.
are constantly like, "Oh my God, I don't want to get in a car accident. Oh my God, oh God, I'm nervous about getting in a car accident." Those people are like gonna get in a car
For
accident.
sure.
Like they're just gonna manifest whatever the I manifest sounds so douchey, but whatever the word is, they're gonna create it because there's just no confidence in what they're doing. But yeah,
Yeah, it's interesting. So I had a
was
moment.
trying to think other sports, not non-sports examples, because I was like, I just gave four sports examples. But, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's probably like financial stuff with like when
Yep.
you're like when you're going like I know the rules, buy low, you don't want to sell low, you don't want to sell low, and then you're like, ah, but I think it might just completely crater, then you sell low, and then you're fucking have Tesla, you sold at $80, and now it's whatever, $500 or something like that. Not that that's the exact thing that happened to me or anything, but
Not Jim Cramer.
I had a moment the other day. I was at a Vino Bella wine bar. You and I have both been there many times, I believe.
Oh man, yeah, fond memories. So yeah.
And I did, I headlined it for the first time, which was actually pretty cool for me because that was like one of the first rooms I emceed. And then I featured there a bunch of times. And then I headlined it. And I was like, I was like, hey, I do this golf thing. You guys will probably hate you'll hate my podcast. You won't buy my merch, but you might like this golf thing I have on YouTube. And this guy comes up to me and he's like, I want you to golf with me. He's like a member at some country club. And I'm like, I just became Corey Michaelis at this fucking wine
Oh
bar.
man, I need to start doing that more. I do it in airports
Oh,
and it
smart.
works. Well, just like I shouldn't say I do it in airports, I've done it in airports. If I see a Travis Matthew hat or t shirt on a guy, I'll go, hey, golfer, huh? And then they go, yeah, I'm playing tomorrow. And I go, I'm in town to do comedy. So a couple times I've went out with people like that and golfed,
And
and
your girlfriend's
they
okay
want to
with
take
that.
care of you. So, and my girlfriend's okay with it. I mean, the guys did strip down. That was kind of so many. Yeah, there's so many euphemisms in golf too that are hack, but they're fun. It's funny when you're on the course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, tight grip on his wood, but whatever.